19 prayer message. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on professing Christians.
Right. Okay, then what else?
Quote, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy.
Okay, this is like, out of the hundreds of millions of professing Christians in the world, very few of them have the Spirit of God in them. They don't have life. So read that. They have a form of godliness. They all go to church. They say they're Christians. Some are the most huge cults. And so we're to pray for them because some of them, I mean, most of them believe that they're really Christians because they shake hands with the minister and have them, their names on the church roll. So they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power or the life of God in them. If the power of God is not in them, that's the same spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead and carried him into the kingdom of heaven. And so if you they deny the power, the resurrection, living in them with by the power of the Holy Spirit, if they deny Christ's life with the Father by the Spirit in them, then they are not real Christians. They carry the name of Christ, but they're, according to the Lord, dead. They have a name that they are alive, but thou art dead, the Lord says. So they only have a form of God. They're formal. Formal services, but no life of God. They don't have the character of Christ in them, the life of Christ, the power of God. Next scripture.
Quote, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead.
Okay, you have a name that you're alive. You say you're Christians. Jesus is saying this in the book of Revelation, but thou art dead. Then what?
That was Revelation 3:1.
Thou art dead. Read it again.
Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead.
Dead in your sins and trespasses, carrying the name of Christ. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. This is the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, saying this. So the Lord knew all about it. Amen?
Amen.
This is a church. It's nominal, they call themselves, or some of the Christians call them nominal Christians. Some of the born-again Christians call them nominal Christians. But the Lord says they're dead. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
There are literally thousands of millions of professing Christians.
Dead, having a name that they're lived, but they're all dead, Jesus said. In the last book of the Bible, Jesus, who is, they all say, sweet Jesus, says, you have a name that you live. Everybody thinks you're a Christian, but I say you're dead. Then what?
The deathly state of most of them is unspeakably awful.
Right. It's horrible. Awful. The deadly state of the affairs that they, the state of spiritual death that they're in is awful. They're pretenders. And some of them don't even pretend. Go ahead and read on.
Formality.
They have formality. They go to church, they sit there, they sing the songs, they clap their hands, and they praise the Lord. And they have sweet faces and dress real pious. Some of them don't commit adultery or fornication. They wouldn't think of doing such a thing as that. Some of them are not lesbians or homosexuals. They would never think of doing anything like that. Millions of them have never done anything like that and never would. and millions of them have never stolen, or they've never coveted anything of anybody. They're just sweet. They're just happy to live in their little house, go to their little church or their big religion, and go through the formality of religion, or and say they're Christians. Why are you a Christian? Because we go to a Christian church. The pastor says he's a Christian, and he told us we're Christians. But they're dead. Christ has not yet moved into theirs by the Spirit, with the Father, has not yet moved into their spirit. They don't have any strength, no power. The rest of that scripture says, therefore, strengthen yourself. Well, how can you strengthen yourself? Because we have no strength. There's no, all power in heaven and earth belongs to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And he's the life. And so the only way that we can, these nominal Christians, quote nominal Christians, or these dead ones, can strengthen themselves is to ask Christ, who is the strength, to come into them, and that they become alive. So the Lord says, become alive. Strengthen that which remains. What does that mean? What remains of your life? You may only have one more day of life, one more hour. You may have only a day or two or 3 days or a week. So strengthen that life that remains, that dead thing that you have there. You're the spirit in you. Let it wake up. Strengthen it. Let me come in, because you have no strength, no power for eternal life in you until I'm in you. Become alive. You're dead, Jesus said. Amen?
Amen.
You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. And Jesus is the truth. He's the way. He's the truth. If he's not in you, you, my friend, are dead. Okay, then what?
Formality, worldliness.
They're full of formality and worldliness, and then comma.
Carnal ungodliness.
Ungodliness, carnality. And what?
Lifelessness.
Lifeless, dead. Then what?
No spirit in them to perform service unto God.
Because it's God in you that does the service. What good is it for you to sit in church? That doesn't help God. That doesn't let God do his work. The only way that God can do his work is if he's in you. Because he does his work in human flesh. It pleases God that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel in human beings. And it's him that preaches the gospel. Just as Jesus said when he was in the flesh, he says, it's not me. The words that I say are not my own, but to the Father in me. And now he and the Father, by the Spirit, live in born-again Christians. And we must, as born-again Christians, surrender all of our life unto the Lord and realize that our power to preach, to teach, and to win souls is not our power. It's the power of God in us that does that. It must be the anointing of the Lord to bring forth life, to dispense life from into us and through us on a continuous basis. Okay, then what?
Ignorance.
Ignorance. They don't know that. All they know is what their teacher or Bible teacher or preacher that has no life in them is teaching them. They're not only dead, but the dead know nothing, the Bible says. So therefore, they're ignorant of the real truth. And not only that, they're dead, they're ignorant, and they're blind. The dead can't see. Amen?
Amen.
They don't have the life, the way in them to see their way. They don't have the truth in them. They don't have God's life in them. And then they don't have God's power in them. And God is not doing a work in them. And what other reason is there that God should live in us but to do the work of God? The work of God can be done only by God. It's God's work. And so therefore we must not even try to do it. All we need to do is just die. Our own will must die. Our own former life must die. our own spirit must be mortified, awakened only to the Lord. Our flesh is mortified. The spirit of the Lord in our spirit must grow up in our spirit until there's nothing but the Lord's spirit there. That is life. And let the Lord have his way in us. Then what?
Indifference. No mercy.
Indifference. Merciless. No mercy in them. Then what?
And full of death.
Filled with death. Then what?
What good is a person who lives this way?
Lives the life of death. What point is there in living if you're dead? And if you're going to go when you die, go into hell, and then wait for judgment there, and then be taken up from judgment, from your death and your judgment, go up before God in hell, and have God say, no, you're of those that I stated that death and hell would be cast into the lake of fire. Now, the lake of fire is different than hell. Hell is a place that people wait for judgment. And when you're in hell, you know that you're going before God's judgment and that hell and death, you, are going into the lake of fire. Repentance must be done. The work, we must allow God to do the work in us while we're alive, not after our bodies die. After, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You're not coming back as another creature. You just die once. You live your natural human life once, and you're only to live you're only to live the godly life once also. You can't just be alive in the Lord and then crucify him and fall away from the Lord and start living the human life again. The human life, the former evil human life, must be forsaken in order to allow God to do his will in you. You, me, everyone has to surrender their entire being unto the Lord, that he may do his work in us. Okay, then what?
We pray for the obvious sinners.
So there's sinners in the world. We have to pray for them. But let us also pray for these dead ones that profess Christianity. There's the obvious sinners that are in nightclubs every night and in houses of prostitution and prostitutes and pimps and drug dealers and all these. These are obvious sinners, but what of these pious ones that are going to church and think that they're okay with the Lord and they're dead? They don't have the life of God. Then what?
Let us also pray for those dead ones calling themselves Christians. Those who take his name in vain.
Sure, if you're saying I'm a Christian, it's vain if you don't have the life. Amen?
Amen.
That's, you know, you're not to take the Lord's name in vain. You're not to say you're a Christian if you don't have the Spirit of God in you. That's taking the name of Christ in vain. What profit is there? It's vain if it's not the Lord living and working in you. So that's good commandment. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Don't take the name of Christianity upon you if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, if you know he's not working in you and living in you. What are you? You're a liar. You're a phony. You're dead. Then what?
Let us also pray for those dead ones calling themselves Christians, those who take his name in vain, those who will be worse off at judgment than the unenlightened ones who are not aware of the gospel. Shouldn't these dead ones give up their lives to the Holy Spirit, life and power, that they may live?
Right. The professing Christians, shouldn't they become Christians?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Then what?
And shouldn't all Spirit-filled Christians cry out to God both day and night, to God for these lost souls? God gives us the answer to our prayers with the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray in deep stillness of God. Quote, my soul waiteth on God. From him cometh my salvation. Psalm 62:1. Prayer has its power in God alone.
Right, you pray, that's where the power is in God. Our power lies in that we pray to God.
Prayer has its power in God alone.
Amen. And then what?
The closer a person comes to God, the more he enters God's will.
Right. People that receive God's word, they become inspired when they hear messages that are brought, are given in the Spirit by the Lord. They get nearer to the Lord, and their power increases, and their faith increases. And what did I read that line again?
Closer a person comes to God, the more he enters God's will.
Okay, you come to God in prayer. That's God's will. But you're not praying for what you want. You're praying for what the Lord tells you that he wants you to pray for. And when you do, you're doing his will. And he will do what you're praying for, if it is connected or linked with faith. Okay, then what?
The more a person takes hold of God, the more that person will have power in prayer.
The more you link yourself in prayer to the Lord, the more power you'll have in, with God in prayer. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
The more you pray, the more power in prayer you're going to have. Okay, then what?
God reveals himself when we seek him. He will be found of us. God will make the person who seeks him aware of his presence. Our heart must be linked with his heart. Our heart chained to the heart of Christ, united in holy matrimony. Christ with us, his bride and body, the true church. A month of intercessions perpetually goes on, one month after another. We feel the greatness of God's work being done in us and through us. Be still before God, and by doing so, you are receiving the power of the Holy Spirit.